Folks, good morning. And before we launch into God's Word together, I just want to say thank you to those of you who have been in touch since the announcement a couple of days ago that I've been appointed vicar here. I'm just so overwhelmed by your kind words and your support. The cathedral is a really special place. It is a privilege to serve there, and it's a privilege that I don't take lightly. You guys as a church family are just a total joy to be alongside and to serve. And so I'm so glad I could stay for another few years and to do that. I'm really thankful to Sam for his leadership, for his friendship, for trusting me with this privilege and for being willing to put up with me for another few years. So thank you so much to all of you for your kindness. Let's take a minute now just to pause and be still and ask God to come and speak. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it and for the power that it has in our lives. Just pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit now and open our eyes afresh to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, I wonder over the last few weeks if you've had the opportunity to watch or maybe watch bits of the big interview. It's the interview that has shaken the media. It's the interview that has shaken the royal family. So many people have been talking about it. There has been much division and debate about it. Of course, I'm talking about the interview that Prince Harry and his wife Meghan Markle sat down to give. It's been branded a tell-all interview. And I suppose no matter what your opinion on it, whether it should or should not have been done, I wonder if you've heard it, did you manage to catch one of the phrases that Oprah Winfrey used in that interview? She said this to Meghan, "How do you feel about the palace hearing you speak your truth today? Speak your truth." I think that's a really interesting phrase. Your truth, not the truth, but your truth. We are living in a post-truth society, which means that people are more likely to base their view of a situation on their feelings and emotions rather than on facts. And so your truth becomes based on your feeling rather than actual truth. It's this idea that nobody can tell you what truth is. A few weeks ago, I mentioned a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and I totally believe that as Christians, we need to seek after that. We need to seek to understand our feelings and our emotions and to use them, that God has given them to us as a gift. And I believe that we need to do that. But it's so important for us as Christians to be aware that at times we will be tempted to, and encouraged actually by society, to frame things based on our emotions, based on how we feel when we wake up in the morning, rather than frame our view of life based on God's word. And we don't want to be a church who are driven and ruled by emotion, but we want to be a church who are grounded in truth. And everything that we do grounded in truth. We're thinking at the moment, as you know, about what it means to be in the wilderness. And we're looking at the series Worship in the Wilderness. The reality is the wilderness can skew our vision of reality and truth. Imagine you're in a desert, you're disorientated, you're tired, you're hungry, you're thirsty, and you'll feel like, will this ever end? I'll never get out of this. I'll never survive. I can't cope. And the same is true in wilderness seasons in our lives. We can feel overwhelmed with those kinds of feelings. Our souls become disorientated. We're thirsty and tired. And in those moments, what we need is a grip on reality. We need truth. We need the big picture, in a sense. This morning in our wilderness series, we are on a truth-speaking journey. And so I want us to ask the question this morning, where do we as Christians need to speak truth? Where do we need to speak truth? And I believe there are three areas of life that we need to speak truth. The first is to power. So the second is to circumstances, and then the third is to ourselves. So let's think about this morning. What does it mean for us as Christians to speak truth to power? The reality is we do live in an increasingly secular society, and Christian voices at times seem to be more marginalised than ever. Our opinion is not welcome in the media. Even our friends and family struggle with maybe what we think as a Christian. Maybe our values aren't shared by our family or our work colleagues. People who run newspapers, TV stations, websites, they look at us and think, that's not a helpful opinion. That's not a valid opinion. It can feel at times like we're bombarded with temptation to live in a way that's opposite to God's best for us. And that's because of the media view of Christians. Do you ever feel like you're a bit of a lone voice in the wilderness? You ever feel like you're the only Christian around? Well, how can we be like John the Baptist, who was a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert the highway for our God? How can we be those people who declare that truth? Well, it doesn't look like us standing on street corners with placards with that verse printed. That's not how we as Christians speak truth to power. But for us in 2021, in order to be able to speak truth to power, it looks like us as Christians having the courage to speak truth to power, to those in authority, calling out injustice or immorality. You may have heard this week that Stormont debated a new bill brought forward, and I'm thankful that Paul Gibbon had the courage to speak truth to power. He came to say, our abortion laws are not okay. For those who don't know, Paul Gibbon, an MLA, brought forward a bill which seeks to amend the law in Northern Ireland and will prevent abortions in the case of non-fatal disability, including Down syndrome. And it's been backed by a majority of MLAs. And I'm thankful that Paul Gibbon, as a Christian, had the courage to stand up and to speak truth to power. And that's the kind of thing that we as Christians need to involve ourselves in. We won't all have the opportunity to speak in Stormont, but we can all have a vote and a say in politics. So those kind of things, they're examples of what it means to speak truth to power. It means that we need to look at society around us and see it through the lens of God's word, through the lens of truth. And then for us to have the courage to say, do you know what? This is not okay. What our society is doing, what our society believes, this is not okay. Just because something's passed in law or accepted as a social norm does not mean that it's right and true. And we, as Christians, have a responsibility as citizens of this country and as citizens of heaven to speak up, to say when things aren't right, to call things out, and to speak truth to power. And so that is the first way that we need to be engaged in speaking truth to power. The second way is that we need to speak truth to circumstances. A few weeks ago, you probably won't have noticed this in the news. It was only, I think, reported by a couple of places. But there was a discovery of a mass war grave, of a war that took place in 1792. And this war grave was discovered, a mass grave, and some pictures were issued of that. And that the image is shocking. Imagine coming across a scene like that as an archaeologist and wondering, how do I begin? How do I begin the process of dating these bones and work out what happened here? How did they die? Well, what an even bigger shock the prophet Ezekiel must have felt when he saw a scene exactly like that. He was taken to a valley of dry bones, and then he was given this instruction by God. Ezekiel writes this, the hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you, cover you with skin. I will put breath in you. You will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." These are bones that have been there for a long time, bodies that have been dead for a long time. This is a scene of hopelessness and impossibility. There's a point of no return, right? And yet God, into this scene of hopelessness, says to Ezekiel, "Speak my word, speak my truth, and see what happens." And so God calls Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones, to prophesy to them. Now, if that was me, I would be thinking, "God, I don't think so. I'm not going to be talking to dry bones because nothing's going to happen." And yet Ezekiel steps out in faith and he speaks God's word, his restorative word. And the dead bones come together and muscles and flesh grow back over them. He speaks and the Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit, brings the bones back to life. And so we read, "So I prophesied as he commanded me. Breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." This is a pile of dry bones, and with the word of God, they become an army. They become a people who will occupy the promised land. God's word and his Spirit do with power what no other power or politician or program could do. They bring you life and true life. And if we are looking to bring transformation to the world around us, to our church, to our homes, to our workplaces, to schools, we need to know God's word. And we need to speak it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that means speaking and praying prophetically, speaking the truth of God's word into a situation. No doubt you will be able to think of circumstances in your own life, your family and your friends, where it seems like there's no hope. It seems like you have gone beyond the point of no return. Like there's no way this situation can be redeemed. And that might be a situation with your finances, with a job, with broken relationships, or with health. And maybe in the midst of that situation, God is calling you to be an Ezekiel. He's calling you to be someone who will speak God's truth over a situation. Pray God's perspective on it. Sometimes in our humanity, we look at a situation and we think there is no way back from this. And yet we serve a God who looks at a grave and he sees a garden. He looks at bones and he sees an army. He looks at a sea and he sees a highway, a pathway. We serve a God who has a better grip on reality and on the truth than all of us put together. All that's required of us is that we would be willing to speak truth into our circumstances. Thirdly, then, we need to speak truth to ourselves. Most of us will have grown up in church, in that environment of knowing and hearing the Bible, and we'll know stories and we'll know verses. But where the rubber really hits the road with this, with all that knowledge that you've gained, is when you find yourself in the wilderness, when you find yourself in pain and darkness and difficulty, that you know how to apply the truth of that to your situation. Life is hard at times for all of us, even for Jesus. What Kathy read for us today, some verses from the story of Jesus being led into the wilderness where he was tempted. It's really interesting how Jesus copes. Now, this was on a stroll in the park with Jesus and the devil walking along having a talk. Jesus had spent weeks in the wilderness, hungry, thirsty, tired, disorientated, probably feeling desperate. And Satan seizes the opportunity and he tries to tempt Jesus. And each time Jesus is tempted, he responds to Satan with the word of God, with the truth. Remember, earlier in scripture, Jesus has called Satan the father of lies. He was the original lie teller. So when the sin entered the world, when he told that first lie, with that lie, Satan led Adam and Eve to the fall of mankind. Lying is Satan's primary weapon against us all. And he uses that tactic against us as Christians to confuse us, to leave us hopeless, to twist God's word. He wants you and I to doubt the goodness of God. In our mind somewhere, we imagine this character, the devil, but maybe he seems far-fetched or far removed from you. Make no mistake about it. When you find yourself in difficulty, when you find yourself in the wilderness, Satan will move in on all of us. All of us who belong to Jesus, he's just waiting for the opportunity. And we can see the fruit of Satan's work in our lives at times. Maybe those thoughts that you have from time to time about yourself, where you think, I'm not good enough. I'm too broken. I don't fit in that church. I have nothing to offer. People don't really like me. Those are lies from Satan. How do you know? How do you know that's a lie from Satan? Because they don't match up with the truth of God's word. And that's our standard for truth. We look at God's word and everything else matches up against it. And so none of those things that maybe you're tempted to believe about yourself, I don't read those things in scripture. It's not what God says about you. I don't ever pick up the Bible and read that God says, actually, some people are too broken. Some people are too useless to serve. That's not what God says. And therefore those things must be a lie because they do not match up to the truth of God's word. And we need to get our minds tuned into realizing that, into spotting the lies that don't match up to God's truth. That's the test for us in our lives as Christians. Everything we think and do and say, how does it match up with the truth of God's word? When Jesus was tempted and in despair, he fought back with God's word. With the truth of God's word. And so it's important for us as Christians that we learn how to do that as we face the wilderness, as we face difficulty and darkness in our lives, that we are able to cling to the truth. We can only do that by picking it up and reading it, by picking up your Bible, getting stuck in. Memorize it. Memorize really significant verses, powerful verses. Write it down somewhere that you can see. Take some time this week. All of us, let's take time and ask ourselves how I think and feel right now. How does that match up to what God says in his word? The thing that I'm struggling with or I'm tempted by, what does God's word say about it? That decision I need to make, what does God say about it? So important that we learn to speak truth, not just to power, not just to circumstances, but to ourselves. At times. To live in the truth is a high calling. The world wants us to be like Oprah in that interview, to tell our truth. But actually the call of God on my life and your life is to live in the light of his truth. To really stand on that in this season when things are shaken, what is the truth? There is no better way to live. There's no more liberating experience than to have the truth of God's word shed light into your darkness and your difficulty. Jesus said this, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Let's be disciples who live in that truth, who live in the light of God's word and his truth for our lives. Let's continue to be people who speak truth to power when there is injustice and immorality in our society. Let's be courageous enough to stand up and say that this is not okay. In our circumstances, when we find ourselves in a situation where it seems hopeless, let's be courageous enough to be like Ezekiel, to speak prophetically into a hopeless and dark situation, to speak the truth of God's word, to bring life by that truth. And this week, let's spend some time asking ourselves about how we think, how we feel, how we act, and how it matches up to God's word. Let's take time to speak God's truth to ourselves this week. Let's not let the enemy get a foothold on any one of us during this time. Let's just take a moment now to pray. Father, we thank you for how Jesus responded to the father of lies, for how Jesus responded with the truth. Lord, I pray for us in our society, for us in our relationships, and for us in our own mental health as we struggle with injustice, immorality, and untruth. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be like Jesus, to be able to remind ourselves, to remind those around us of the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that we would be a church who stand firmly on that truth. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.